H.G. Wells once said, "If there is no God, nothing matters. If there is a God, nothing else matters." You know, in that moment, whenever the light goes on and we finally realize that's something significant. Here's a man who obviously did not believe in God, but he realized the confrontation that faith and truth made to him. If there is no God, nothing matters. Our life is meaningless. We're nothing more than a cosmic accident in time. In fact, time itself is an accident, according to most Zionists. But if there is a God, then nothing else matters. And my friends, there is so much that keeps us from serving a very real God that we give meaning and power to that doesn't matter, that is insignificant and doesn't hold meaning and isn't worth the amount of effort and time that we invest in it. We need to be faithful with that which God has entrusted to us. You know, one of the questions that this week we haven't really looked at, we've noted the importance of faith. But I want you to know the Bible talks about how faithful we are to God and that which He's entrusted unto us. Are we faithful? Are we faithful unto the end? You know, the scriptures tell us in Revelation 2 and verse 10 that in order to be saved, we've got to remain faithful until the end. Well, God has given to us all something, and we've got to prove ourselves faithful in all circumstances with which that which God has given to us. Yes, it's important that we have faith in God, but God has faith in us as well. He chooses to trust that in times we're going to make the right choice and make the right decisions about life. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "I thank Jesus, Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because He has counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Paul said, God counted me faithful. He trusted me with something, and He put me into this ministry of reconciliation to try to bring the world back to reconciliation with Him. Did you know knowing the gospel is one of the greatest things you will ever know? And it is also a stewardship that God has given us, and we've got to remain faithful to that. We know something extremely important, and really, nothing else matters. That is so precious to us, to have that knowledge given to us. You see, because not only if there is no God, nothing matters, and if there is a God, nothing else matters, but if God has not spoken, then we know nothing, but if He has spoken, then it opens the door to all knowledge. Any and all knowledge must have meaning, and the knowledge of the gospel is the most important thing you will ever know. How to be reconciled to God, how to be faithful to Him, how to be trustworthy to Him. In Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 1 and 2, the New Testament says there was a certain man who was a steward, and an accusation was brought against him that this man was wasting his master's goods. So he called him and said to this, "What did I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." What if that happened to us today? How long have you known the gospel? Have you been faithful with that which is in others? What if God suddenly called up and said, "Hey, look, you've been living this life for quite a while now, and I want to know, it's been whispered to me that you're wasting that which you have. Come and give an account, because you will no longer be allowed to be steward." Oh, most of us would cry. Most of us would say, "Lord, give me another chance. I'm going to be more faithful to you, that which you've entrusted unto us." But the Bible says, if we can't be faithful in a few things, how can we be faithful about those treasures that God gives to us? I want you to know this is a treasure. We need to give the fact that we know the gospel a little more respect than what we've been given it. We need to understand that this life soul saving knowledge is so important. We've talked about it all week. Many of us know it, but many of us have neglected to recognize its preciousness, its value, and how important it is. What a stewardship. Why aren't we humble like Paul whenever we cower and we understand what an immensely wonderful thing that God has entrusted me with this knowledge. Indeed, it should be something that moves us all to greater works. The Bible says all of this knowledge comes from God, of course, James 1 and verse 17. But let's consider some other stewardships in the Bible right quick. We have stewardships of physical money. We all know that. The Bible tells us to be faithful in that which we've been given. He is faithful in the least, will be faithful in much. Luke 16, 10 through 13, if you're taking notes. We have the responsibility of caring for our own. If we don't care for our own, we're worse than an infidel, the Bible tells us. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, Ephesians 4, 28, let us work so we can provide for those who have needs. I want you to know, using the stewardship of that which we've been entrusted in our material things is important, because after we're dead, it doesn't matter. It's important to understand, if there is a God, that matters. And so we've got to be faithful with spiritual things, and we've got to be faithful with temporal things. And if we can't be faithful with temporal things, the Bible says, then who's going to entrust in you the eternal things? We've got to be trustworthy people. We've got to be that kind of character. And I'm calling on all of us tonight to respond to that which we know is true in a more meaningful way. We need to do more with that which we've been given. Notice, not only are we supposed to care for our own, we're supposed to care for the needy. Ephesians 4, 23, let him labor with his hands, doing that which is good, so we'll have something to share with him who has need. In Hebrews 13, 6, don't forget to do good works and share, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. But most importantly, as we've noticed, it's the stewardship of abilities that we don't often grasp. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 6 through 8, having then gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us. That word grace means unmerited favor of God. My friends, you have some gifts that are unmerited favors from God. Some of them are making money. Some of them are talking to people. Some of them are being friendly, hospitable. Some of them are outgoing. Whatever it might be. Some of those is remembering everybody's name. Not me. I'm glad you got it. I have to be reminded every day who my children are. Who is that person? That's your child. Okay. Well, that's fine. Well, all of us have different abilities. But guess what? Whatever you have or don't have, don't stop saying, well, I'll serve God if you'd give me this, that, and the other, and everything else. You've got to take what you are, as our brother has said. Just take what you have. God doesn't hold you accountable for that which you don't have. He holds you accountable for what you do have. So stop waiting until you get something else before you start using what you have. One of the biggest things, the problems I see in people in the church and not sharing the gospel, is they wait until they're scholars to tell somebody how to be saved. That's ridiculous. Come on, brethren and sisters, we need to take what we've been given to the world. It's precious. It's wonderful. Souls can be saved. That whole world that was created, as our brother Brent put up here. He let that world out there and left it so intricate, so beautiful, and so interesting, waiting for the day whenever man was going to have a telescope and be able to see it. Can you imagine the joy on God's heart whenever man finally developed a telescope and looked up there and saw, wow, that's not a star, that's another solar system. And God goes, yes. They saw that they were still small, that they couldn't count all the stars. And God continues to create faith in those who seek him. And we know him. We know the truth. And what do? We spend time talking about everything else under the sun with our neighbors and friends at school and with the people that we work with. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk about everything under the sun. And we have all kinds of stats and garbage memory and stuff. And we don't share the gospel. Are we faithful? Are we faithful? No, we need to respond to our knowledge and what we know about God, the stewardship of our abilities. Why has God given us these abilities? As each one has received a gift, use it in ministering to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4, 10, 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so with the ability God has supplied. Ah, there, God gets the glory. God has supplied whatever ability you have. God has supplied. that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belongs the glory. Quit taking it for yourself. Whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. But some of us are, pardon my term here, but the Bible in 1 Corinthians 11 says, many are weak and sickly among you in number. Sleep. That means we're still walking, but we're dead. The walking dead are zombies. Are we a bunch of zombies out here? Well, we are to God. He's going, that person has life and they're walking around, but they're not good to me. They're the walking dead. Is that what we are as a group, a congregation of zombies? Come on, brethren. I thought we had some life in us. I thought we had something precious to share. There is nothing that you will ever have that's more valuable or more precious than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing. There is nothing you will share with anyone that is more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, we have a crisis of evangelism. My friends, we have a stewardship of opportunities. Yes, we do. In 1 Corinthians 3, 5, Paul addressing the issues of personal evangelism said, what is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. If we pray for open doors, we've got to be enough stewards to look for those open doors that God creates. God tells us to pray for them. God tells us to prepare for them. God tells us to take advantage of them. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now, he temporarily may have been talking there about blessing someone, but do you really believe that excludes spiritual opportunities? Not on your life. My friends, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Share the gospel that you know. Our stewardship of responsibilities, our brother has done quite well, a good job telling us that our relationship to one another and our relationship to God is reflected by our faithful obedience or disobedience to God. But the one last point that I want to say, wow, 2 points. I've got to be faithful with what has been entrusted to me. Is the stewardship of our time. Benjamin Franklin said, time is the stuff life is made of. In Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17, walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. My friends, your time is valuable. Why? Because it ends. If it didn't end, you could have time to get to everything you ever wanted to do, to visit every place you ever wanted to visit, to get everything done. And my friends, we've got more opportunities today to spend our time than anything else. We literally are overwhelmed with opportunities to do everything. And it's not necessarily evil. You can literally waste your life doing that which is great and good in a worldly, temporal way. You don't have to waste it in sin, but you can waste it doing things which are unimportant. My friends, do not let the urgent crowd out the important. Do not allow the unimportant to have prominence. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, because he knows that everybody else wants it. And so he says, you have to make priorities. You have to be a filter. Don't we all wish we had somebody else's time? We kind of look at some other teachers and other people who are able to accomplish much. And we guess, and what do? We're envious. We say, I don't know where he finds the time to get all that done. I wish I had that much time. Guess what? He's got exactly how much time that you have. We all have exactly the same amount of time. But some of us are better managers of our time than others, because we filter that which calls for our time through a filter of priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God becomes the number one priority. If there is a God, nothing else matters. So stop playing games. Our life is spent. How old are you? I don't know. You don't know how much time you have left. But this I know, only that which is done for God will continue. Only that will last. So tonight, you've heard about the gospel. You've heard about the most important thing you will ever hear in your life. And in the day of judgment, you will understand one supremely important fact. You're not a physical creature having a spiritual experience. You're a spiritual creature having a physical experience that is temporary. And eternity is made out of the stuff of the Spirit. This life we know is temporal. But we've got to lay up treasure in heaven where nothing, no kind of tragedy, no kind of Armageddon here will take away that which we've entrusted to Him who we have entrusted our souls. Tonight, have you entrusted your souls? Have you been faithful with your soul? Tonight, will you not give it to the one who will take it into eternity? In your faith, repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Stop wasting time. And if you're a Christian and you've been fooling around being a spiritual zombie and nobody sees any life in you, stop that altogether and seek first the kingdom of God. My friends, if there is a God, if there is no God, nothing matters. If there is a God, nothing else matters. Obey Him while we stand and sing.